ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We're reading this afternoon from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, text number 2.
Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam.
The translation, is it possible that some of the windows can be opened? Get a little fresh air. Would everybody like a little cool, fresh air? A little stuffy?
This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed.
Do we need a translation? How many people would like translation? Yeah? Okay. You can read the translation of the... So, the Bhagavad Gita is today the most famous of all Indian scriptures. Indian culture and philosophy and religion go back thousands and even millions of years. We say thousands of years because that is what we learn in school. And we say millions of years because that is what is taught in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic scriptures. For example, one fact which is stated as proof that there was no culture before 4 or 5,000 years is that there are no books. Anthropologists will say that this is evidence that there is no culture because there were no books. But in actual fact, books are a sign that we are losing our intelligence rather than being more intelligent. In other words, formerly in Indian culture, knowledge was passed on by oral reception, and people had good memory, so they could hear something even once and remember it their whole life. Remember it and assimilate it or understand it. There was no need to write it down. Nowadays, not only do people have to write things down, but they also have so many toys and gadgets to record their thoughts. Machines are taking over. At least in my school, we learned arithmetic by just remembering. When I got to the 8th grade, at that time they introduced a slide rule. I don't know if you know what is a slide rule. Yeah, I see it's so ancient that he doesn't know what it is. Very ancient. They keep them in museums nowadays. But this is what we were taught, to multiply large numbers. And then, soon after that, along came Texas Instruments, and they introduced the calculator.
So people became so much dependent on the calculator that if you go to a store to buy something that you want five of them and they cost $5 each, the clerk has to get out her calculator.
5 times 5 is 24. Oh, no, mistake.
So here, in the Bhagavad Gita, 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that the knowledge explained in the Bhagavad Gita is the king of knowledge. It is the best knowledge. The goal of knowledge should be to make our lives more happy. The goal of knowledge is to bring more quality into our life. So we have to wonder whether simply increasing the number of cars or increasing the number of television sets or increasing the number of computers is going to bring more happiness into our lives. Or is there something deeper to our life than just physical interaction with the senses and the objects of the senses? It is true that after reading the Bhagavad Gita, you still may fail your physics exam. But at least you'll be happy about it. The knowledge explained in the Bhagavad Gita is transcendental knowledge. The knowledge in Bhagavad Gita will open our eyes to the fact that we are Sat-Chit-Ananda, that we are eternal spirit souls. The result of graduating in Bhagavad Gita is that when one dies, he will transfer himself to the spiritual world and not have to come back again into this temporary material world. There are many different branches of knowledge. There is physics, there is chemistry, there is biology, there is sociology, mathematics, marketing, this, that. But of all the different sciences, philosophy is the king. Because without philosophy, we don't know how to live in the world. For example, people are making progress in the field of genetics. They are working towards assisting people in creating children by creating a genetically engineered child. They're working on cloning human beings. They're working in so many ways to control nature. Now there is a big debate whether or not philosophically we really want to play with nature in this way. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, or actually rather in the purport here to this verse, Prabhupada explains in India there are six major philosophies known as Sad Darshan, the six philosophies along with their philosophers are Sankhya philosophy with Kapila, Yajnavalkya, or sometimes Patanjali, the name of Patanjali is used for yoga,
Gotama's philosophy was that the ultimate object is the atom. And he actually philosophized or reasoned that the atom creates or has karma, that the atom exists at the time of creation, and that it also has a certain karma. Another name used in this list is Jaimini, who he propounded a philosophy of karma mimamsa, Vaishvanara. The idea is that you don't need to give any special attention to God. God is also bound by the law of karma. He sets the law of karma in motion at the beginning, but then he's bound to give the result. If you work in a particular way, God has to give the result because that's your karma. So you can understand from this discussion that the culture of India is based upon various different ways of looking at life, various philosophical ways of looking at life. Practically, the mind, we think about thoughts using words. We put words together and then create sentences and ideas. So any philosophy that you could possibly think up would fall within one of these six. Now here, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, who is the supreme philosopher, he is explaining that this knowledge of bhakti yoga is the king of all kinds of philosophy. It is the topmost. Raja means king, and vidya means knowledge. So in the next line, he says, Raja Guyam. Guyam means confidential. So even though this knowledge is very important, but for most people in the world, it's something that they never think about. In the first verse of this chapter, Krishna explains why he's talking about these things with Arjuna. Arjuna is not a scholar. He's a general. He's not a sannyasi, or he's not an ascetic, but he's a householder. But Krishna says, you have one qualification which I like very much. He says, idam tu te guyatamam, the same word, guya. I'm explaining this confidential knowledge to you, Arjuna. Pravakshami anasuyave, because you are not envious of me. So this knowledge is the king of education, and it is the most confidential, but it is available to anyone. Now, if I want to get a job with the Department of Nuclear Physics, then there are certain things that I have to understand. Somebody who doesn't like mathematics and can't understand mathematics, it doesn't matter how hard they study, they'll never understand nuclear physics or information theory or any complex subject. I have to have the intellectual capacity to absorb it. If I don't, then it's not like I can take some injection or something and or work very, very, very hard. I just won't get it. I may be very, very good at painting, or I may have some other unique qualification in my life, but I can't become a nuclear physicist. But there is no such limitation in this knowledge. Although it is very subtle, although it is very deep, but anyone can understand it. Raja Vija Raja Guryam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. It is pavitra, or pure. This knowledge explained in the Bhagavad Gita is not mixed with material motives. This knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is meant for people who want spiritual salvation, spiritual liberation. It is not meant to help you win the horse races by understanding the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Somehow or other, I will learn to understand the psychology of horses, and I will learn which horse can run faster, and maybe I'll learn the language of horses or something. Not like that at all. This is not what we see today as spiritual life. What we see today in most temples, churches, or mosques is material religion. Either you commit some sin, confess, light 3 candles, and chant 2 Hail Marys, and then go back out and sin again. Or you go to the temple and do some puja and worship some demigod and get some reward or whatever. There are so many rituals in the temples, churches, and mosques for material advancement. But this knowledge is, in the Bhagavad Gita, is pure. And it is meant for serious people. Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. It can give you direct, tangible perception of the self. You can learn to see the soul by studying this knowledge. There is theoretical knowledge known as jnana. The theory is that I am a spirit soul. I am eternal. I won't die. The theory is that I can achieve happiness by practicing transcendental bhakti yoga. It's all theory. Until we actually do something and get our own experience. We are discussing philosophy in a group. And each and every one of you is digesting the discourse in your own way, according to your experience in life. Some of you may accept some of it. Some of you may reject all of it. In that way, there's different degrees. But unless you initially just accept something and practice to do something and get your own realization, your own experience, you won't know for sure. There are so many people in the colleges and universities who discuss philosophy from a theoretical point of view. And they may be more learned in the history of philosophy and more learned in the dynamics of different kinds of philosophy than any of us. But practically speaking, their realization is limited by their activities, what they actually do. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that this confidential knowledge that I am explaining to you, if you accept it and apply it, then you will be able to see the soul. You'll be able to see yourself, and you will be able to see God. And then finally, Krishna says, susukam kartum avyayam. This process is joyfully performed. There are different kinds of happiness, and there are three modes of nature, and there is happiness in the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of passion, and happiness in the mode of ignorance. Someone who is always drunk or always high on drugs, maybe you know some people like that, or someone who is always sleeping 14, 15 hours a day or 12 hours a day, maybe you know someone like that too. Someone who doesn't like to do any work at all. Maybe you know lots of those. They feel a kind of happiness in their life. They think other people are crazy. But that's happiness in ignorance, in darkness. And such people are not happy really in this life. And at the end of this life, they don't get a chance for a human birth. Then there is someone who is happy running here and there trying to make money. Beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow get money. There are so many people like that in the world. Money is everything. How does that go? I forget, anyway. Money can't buy you love, but that's the wrong song. There was another one that, there ain't anything that, that money can't buy or something or other. Yeah, money may, there's actually, sex makes the world go round, but, yeah. You need money for sex. Another thing about our culture. Sex is part of God's plan. Sex is natural. Everyone will agree to that, right? Anybody disagrees? Huh? Sex is natural, right? And so are babies. Babies are natural. So sex is meant for having babies. There is a higher happiness than sex pleasure. Just like if we wanted to be happy right now. If I told you, okay, everybody have sex, you might be a little nervous about that. But if I said everybody chant Hare Krishna, there's no problem. We can chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. So, money, position, power, sex, these are all things that bring happiness in the mode of passion. But they don't open our eyes to our spiritual life. If they're not connected with our service to God, then they actually bind us to the material world. And then there's happiness in the mode of goodness. And that happiness involves a little bit of thinking. I know it's a hard thing to do, but it's necessary. Fools rush in where angels fear to go. We should actually think about the meaning of life before just rushing off to follow everybody else. In Canada, where I come from, there is a type of, not exactly, it's like a penguin. You know what is a penguin? Animal is similar to a penguin. It lives in the same place. It's called a lemming. You ever heard of lemming? Yeah, you have to be Canadian. Anyway, next life. Now, lemmings, they live together in their community, and at a certain time of year, the lemmings, they run into the ocean, and everybody follows. They drown. They run off a cliff into the ocean. Nobody knows why they do it. You ask the guy behind you, why are you doing this? I don't know. You're doing it. I'm following you. So someone in the mode of goodness, he doesn't just follow everybody else in the world and try to achieve status quo. You know the status quo? But he actually thinks about his life. What is the meaning of my life? Why am I suffering in this way? Why must I die? All over the world, people are protesting for one reason or another. It's either the Greens in Germany or the Blacks in America or the Reds in Canada. Everybody's complaining about so many mundane things. But why don't people complain about having to die? Why don't we get upset about it and see if there isn't something we can do? Why do we just accept it blindly? So someone in the mode of goodness, he pursues a simple life spiritualized by high thinking, and he's happy doing that. So Krishna is saying here to Arjuna that susukam kartum avyayam. This process is very, very joyful. The word sukam means joyful or happy, and su gives a lot of emphasis, means it's very joyful. Now, when we are sitting here chanting Hare Krishna, I think everybody in the room is feeling very nice. Even those who are here for the first time, they're feeling it's pleasant chanting the names of the Lord, singing the names of God. Besides the chanting, there are 9 processes of devotional service, including the chanting, 9 processes. So, practicing bhakti yoga is very joyful. Taking Krishna prasadam is very joyful. It's not ordinary food. It's special. Cleaning the temple floor for Krishna, it's not ordinary cleaning. Doing anything out of love for Krishna brings a very special feeling. And that feeling, when you cultivate that, replaces or surpasses your taste for material life. So although we are having a festival every Sunday, and it is something like going to church on Sunday or going to the mosque on Friday, but one should actually try to practice these activities every day. One can sit down peacefully with his husband, with her husband or his wife, or with one's family. And in your home, you can, just as we are singing with harmonium and kartals, you can also do in your house, have kirtan and feel the same bliss. If you are giving your time on one of the main days of the week when you don't have to go to work or school, to come here and chant and take prasadam, it means that you value it. You're giving it some importance in your life. So why are you taking a small dosage? if there are no side effects, and if anandam buddhivardhanam, if the happiness is only increasing, no one else in this world really cares that much for anybody else in this world. We have relatives, and we hug and kiss sometimes. We have family members that we support. We have friends that we go to movies with or something. We play cards or... But ultimately, when it gets down to the very basic thing, I am concerned about I, me, and mine. At the time of death, no one else can help me, nor will they really be inclined to. If you were going to die, but someone came and told you that you can get a substitute so that you don't have to die and they can die in your place, I think you would have a hard time finding someone who would agree to take your place. So you should not be concerned what others are doing in their lives or what they are thinking about you. You should have the courage and the intelligence and the humility to pursue your experiences in spiritual life, and don't be concerned with others. So, susukam kartum avyayam. Why not experience the same joy, the same happiness every day of your life? And those who are staying here in the temple, they're only here to assist you with any questions or any advice that you might need. And also, we can organize so many festivals where we can not only enjoy ourselves here in the temple, but we can also go out on the streets of Ljubljana and invite others to join with us in chanting. And we can also plan so many activities to travel to India together and go to the holy places and to study together, to have seminars and to increase our knowledge. There are so many things that we can do together when we try to increase our interest in devotional service. of course, here in Slovenia, or here in Ljubljana, there is a tradition of having very nice bhajans. I remember, I think last year or year ago, before Sandipani Muni, is that his name? He was very nice. I think everybody remembers him. He leads very nice bhajans. What did you say?
Sandipani
money? Money is also important. While leaving today, I want everybody to leave a donation at the door. Actually, one of the very first devotees, he was Jewish. So, without any kind of ethnic slur, but it's just a fact that American or Western Jews and Indian Marwaris, there are other people like that, like Jews, they're very good at collecting money. In India, I used to go preaching with one Gargamuni Das, who was one of the very first disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the brother of Brahmananda. So when we would preach to wealthy Marwari businessmen, they had, you know, probably cornered about 60 to 70% of the wealth of India. They were such good businessmen; they had captured.
Mm.
Garga Muni would always say that I am American Marwari, because he was Jewish. So anyway, when he first joined Srila Prabhupada didn't engage him so much in Sankirtan activities, but he engaged him in doing business. And he gave him the extra name Garga Muni. So here in Slovenia, Croatia, we have our Sandipani Muni. But anyway, another kind of ecstasy is chanting and dancing, standing up Sankirtan. I recently resigned from the GBC body, but for many, many years I was the GBC of New York. And there the kirtans are very ecstatic and wild. There are usually about three times the crowd, three or four times the crowd, and there's usually about four to six mridangas, many expert mridanga players, and they all keep their own mridangas. And the kirtan usually goes on after arti for an hour, and, you know, just dancing all over the temple room. And the ladies also dance like anything. Susukam kartum avyayam. It's a very ecstatic process. Are there any questions? Cloning, because we don't really know what we are doing. It is all experimentation. God has already given us a perfect material world. Everything here is complete. There is an arrangement for everyone. There are many, many examples how science has played around with material nature and later on gotten a, you know, some reaction, some negative result many years later, and they apologize. Now, I have a friend, a Scotsman. His name is Gaur Nitai Das. So he started a big farm, and he was growing all kinds of vegetables and grains. So he didn't use any pesticides or artificial fertilizer. He used natural fertilizer like cow dung, or even the stool from other animals will work. And he used natural pesticides like turmeric is a very good pesticide. Now, he found that his vegetables were smaller than what was available in the market, but they were 10 times more tasty. And he found that bugs did come. Because the vegetables were more tasty, they only took their quota. I would say today in America, one of the fastest growing industries is the organic food industry. Nature has a nice arrangement, believe it or not. Just ask your great-great-grandfather. Any other questions? Okay. But these are problems. Death is a problem. Old age and disease are problems. So what is your theory? Krishna says, Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara. From boyhood to youth to middle age to old age, the body is changing, but the soul does not change. My five-year-old body is gone, but I'm still here. My 10-year-old body has died, but I'm still here. My 20-year-old body, my 30-year-old body, my 40-year-old body, they all died. And I'm still here. So what is it that is continuing through these different bodies? It is logical that the final death of the body is not the end of me. Experience is just as real on the mental plane as it is on the physical plane. When I go to sleep at night and dream, in my mind, I'm doing so many things, and that is just as real as the things I'm doing in the day. I may have many friends in my dream. I may achieve many big goals. But when I wake up, then I see, oh, it was temporary. So this life that we're living on the physical plane will also end very soon. Then where will I go? The theory of reincarnation is as rational as any other theory. In fact, it is more rational because it is not something that I have invented, but it is coming down from higher authorities and even otherwise. Research has shown that those who have a strong belief in God-based philosophy and who follow it sincerely are generally happier and are better people than all of the rest. In the law of chance, if you're a gambler, then supposing you don't know for sure what is the truth, but you have to decide something. So Blaise Pascal, who was a famous philosopher and mathematician. Have you heard of Blaise Pascal?
Okay.
He said there are four possibilities. One, there is God, there is a supreme intelligence, a supreme person, and you follow him and you benefit greatly. The second possibility is there is God and you don't follow him and you're in hot soup. You're in big trouble. You're up the creek without a paddle. Anyway, that's American expression. There is no God, third possibility, but you live a peaceful and happy life under the illusion that there is God. And yes. Where's the problem? And the fourth possibility is that there is no God and you don't follow any rules or regulations. You just live whimsically and you die like everybody else. So out of the four possibilities, 75% says I should believe in God. So again, I ask, what is your philosophy? Okay, my philosophy is foolish. My philosophy is just an opium for the people. But what is your philosophy now? Let's attack your philosophy. Gotcha. Or you don't have any philosophy? Aha. Any other question? Okay. Hare Krishna.